1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to again get a little bit closer, a little bit better sense of the holiness of God. And then now, Lord, also our responsibility. Help us with this. We can't do it in and of ourselves. We couldn't do it at all if it wasn't for the indwelling of your Spirit and the help of the Holy Spirit in this matter of sanctifying us. But Lord, we also understand, dear God, that the responsibility of the process falls on our shoulders. Help us, Lord, to exhibit the character that we need in the areas of our life, to distance ourselves from things, dear God, that would be displeasing to you, and to live a holy life without question before this lost world, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And we thought or spent some time teaching on holy things. The first thing that we saw was that God is holy. Spent some time on that, most of the first lesson on that. The Father is holy. The Son is holy. The Holy Spirit, of course, is holy. And then number two, the Scriptures are holy. And we gave you Bible references to those things. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. God's angels are holy. Of course they are. They must be, because they carry out holy responsibilities. They serve in the presence of a holy God. We spoke on the subject of Jerusalem being holy, but not just Jerusalem, that there ought to be in all of our lives some ground that is holy, not because of the ground itself, but because of what happened in that location, in that place. We studied this, the church is to be holy. And then also Sunday, the Lord's Day, is a holy day. I want to go to this thought now tonight, and we're going to give you some Bible examples, so be ready to move around a little bit in your Bible. But now we're going to finally get to us. If we have a holy God, and we have a holy Bible, and God's angels are expected to be holy, and God has those places on this earth that he considers holy, and the church is to be holy, and our worship is to be holy, then I think also very much that we as men ought also to be holy. Now, this is reinforced throughout the Scriptures. We have set before us the example of men and women that have gone before us whom God called holy men. Ephesians chapter 3, if you'll turn over there, let's do a little Bible drill here for a while now. You're the ones going to have to be turning, because conveniently I have these verses all typed out and written out, copied and pasted in front of me. So I'll have you move around quickly and I'll just use this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 5. Hey, I did a lot of work that you didn't do in getting this ready, and so you can catch up a little bit, all right? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So the apostles, we see, are and were considered to be holy men. You won't have to turn there, but Revelation 18:20, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And so the apostles were expected and were holy men, prophets. Old Testament prophets, God calls them and refers to them as holy men. You say, well, preacher, so far I'm good. I'm not an apostle and I'm not a prophet, so I think I'm going to be fine here. He's not done. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. That so the apostles were holy. So that shows us that men can be holy. The prophets were considered holy. Men can be holy. What God has asked here and commanded in 1 Peter is achievable in some manner, some way. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse number 10. There's another man that is referred to as a holy man, and that man is John the Baptist. In Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 20, the Bible says this, "For Herod feared John," Mark 6, 20, "for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." Everyone knew that John the Baptist was a holy man, a heathen king. Hi, Lacey. A heathen king knew that John the Baptist was a holy man. Look right up here. I want to help you with something. I'm going to tell you this. When my dad pastored this church, people in this area knew that there was a holy man in Jasonville. This thing that's being pawned off on churches as preachers, this whole idea of, you know, let's see how worldly and unseparated I can look and how many heathen, attributes I can brag about so that I can relate to everybody and be considered. I'm going to tell you, I look right up here. I got that much respect for him. I got that much respect for them. I won't sit at the same table with them. They're imposters. You know what Herod needed in his day? A holy man. You know what people need in this day? Holy men. Holy men of God. That's what they need. And you know what? A pastor, and that title used to mean something. I'm tired of people. And it's not the people doing it. It's the preachers. Putting that title down on the ground, letting people clean their feet on it. I don't have any patience with it. None. There was a sacred heritage handed to me. It was a heritage of holiness. Okay? John the Baptist was a holy man. In Titus chapter 1, let's go there. Titus chapter number 1. God puts the standard up for preachers. We're going to go to preachers next. So the apostles were holy. The prophets were holy. John the Baptist was a holy man. Titus chapter 1, verse number 7, talks about the requirements for a bishop. Titus chapter 1, verse 7, "For a bishop must be blameless as the stewards of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just," there it is, "holy and temperate." In 2 Timothy, we're not far from there, just a book back, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. Again, God is addressing a young preacher here, 2 Timothy 1, 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." I was down at Evansville here several months ago. We drove down. Brother Gail Russ was celebrating, I think, 40 years in the ministry, and I wanted to go down. His church had put on a little thing, and they were honoring him, and I took Gerald, and I think maybe Brother Reiser or Chad, I can't remember who went down with me. But we were at the table, and I was giving Stephen, his grandson, a hard time. And it's just because that's what I tend to do when young men are around me, is give them a hard time. And he got recently graduated from Bible college, got hired there as an assistant pastor. And so I was giving him a hard time about probably what a lousy job he was doing and all of that. And he said, "Well, if I am, it's probably because of the man that I surrendered to preach under." And I didn't really get that for a second. And then I remembered that at Indian Creek Baptist Camp, I was preaching several years ago, and that little rascal, as a young boy, walked down the aisle and surrendered after a message that I preached. So he was throwing it back on me. That if he had spiritual problems, it was because of who he surrendered to preach under. But a handful of times in your life, you'll preach a message and God will call a young man into the ministry. I got a kind note from Pastor Jeff Fugit the week after I preached the camp down there for their church. Their youth group was there this week, his youngest boy. He wrote me a note and said, "My youngest son surrendered to the gospel ministry and to your preaching this week. Thank you very much." Now, folks, let me tell you something. I don't know what you think about it, if you see it happen or when you hear somebody talk about their calling, but I'm going to tell you something. The call of God is a holy thing. It's a holy thing. And again, it goes back to this idea of if you're going to be a preacher, if you're going to preach the gospel, if you're going to say God called me, then you better live a holy life. And Paul talks to Timothy about his holy calling. Okay, preacher, I think I'm good. Apostles, prophets, John the Baptist. I'm not John the Baptist. I'm not a preacher. Okay, we're going to keep going here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Do you think maybe we'll get around to the idea eventually that as a Christian, we're not going to find a loophole here, you know? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9. "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." We're close there, so again, let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse number 3, "The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh" what? Holiness. Well, we're going to settle here for just a little bit. You young gals, I want you to listen up to me. You young ladies, I want you to listen up to me and really hear me out on this. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to look at these verses. Men, enjoy it while you can. We're next, okay? So, 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 5. 1 Peter 3:5. "For after this manner in the old time, holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Now, look right up here. I want to help you, okay? Young ladies, aged ladies, it doesn't make any difference. A Christian lady ought to aspire to be a holy lady. A holy woman. We're sending our ladies, some of us are, some churches are, to these ladies' meetings. And I don't know if anybody ever speaks about holiness anymore. I don't know. I'm going to say some things, just put your seatbelt on. I see preachers' wives dressed in such a way that I'm ashamed of them. I'm ashamed of them. And it's not just cross-dressing. Sometimes it's just they're dressed in dresses, but they look like streetwalkers. Now, you young ladies, look right up here. Don't ever, ever get caught up in following that nonsense. You know what? Thank God there's some young ladies that have on their resume this. You know what I want to look like? I want to look like a holy woman. There's nothing wrong with that. You ought to aspire to that. Stop looking at the world and saying, how close can I look like that? And decide that you're going to dress like a holy lady, a holy woman. Okay? Holiness. You ought to aspire to it. You ought to seek it. Not just in the way you're dressed, we talk about that, but that's outward stuff. In what you are in here. I mean, I grew up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, listen to me, able to look up as a young person in our church to women who were holy women. Ladies, don't you rob these young people of that opportunity. Don't you rob these young girls of the opportunity to look up and see women in this church that are holy women. Okay? We got this crazy thing going on even in independent fundamental church, Baptist churches, where I call it the Hoochie Mama movement, you know. It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. You're walking into the church house and it's just ridiculous. Stop. Okay, stop. What are you doing? That's not what this book teaches. That's not what God wants. That's not what God's looking for. And anybody with any spirituality is not impressed. Not impressed in the least. Matter of fact, we're kind of ashamed that you just don't get it. Okay? Be careful. Be careful. And so the challenge, okay, all right, good, okay. I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet, I'm not John the Baptist, I'm not a preacher, and I'm not a woman. Thank God. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go there, Ephesians chapter 1. Well, this is going to close the door. It's going to surround us here. We're going to have to face the idea, folks, that if we are going to be Bible-believing Christians, we cannot run from this responsibility that every single one of us have to be holy before God and before men. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, Ephesians 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is speaking to all of the children of God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1, I'll read that. The writer writes this, wherefore, here it is, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The letter's written to Christians, and they are addressed thus, holy brethren. God has called each and every one of us to holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's everybody. 1 Peter 1, verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, listen, church. The honest truth is, we can talk about God being holy, and we can talk about Sunday being holy, and the scriptures being holy, and all of those things you can talk about, and everybody says, isn't that wonderful, great? But listen to me, shame on us if we do not rise to the challenge. God says, be ye holy. Be ye holy in all conversation. Be ye holy in all lifestyle. Somehow we've got to break this mindset that has gotten down, and it's in the hearts of our young people. And I'm not saying our young people here in this church. I'm just saying the young people that I find in fundamentalism, there just seems to be this pushing against the lines, this desire to see how worldly and how wicked can I be and still be allowed to be somehow connected with the Church of Jesus Christ. Why are we not heading the opposite direction? Why are we not trying to be holy before God? He's deserving of that. God hath not called us unto uncleanness. Nobody can come to me and sit in my office and say, preacher, I'm saved, and let me tell you what God's called me to do. What's he called you to do? To be as unclean as I possibly can be. No, that's crazy. And yet, some people pursue it as if it is a calling. As if it's a calling. God hasn't called us to that. God's called us in the opposite direction. Listen, our God has given us a call to holiness. He has not just saved us, but he's called us unto himself, called us unto holiness. Those of you that are out serving on Sunday mornings, let me encourage you to get the Sunday morning messages. You can listen to them online. You can get them from our PA guys. But we're doing 3 weeks on the same subject. What does it mean to be holy? And we need to go back and revisit. I can't re-preach this, but born-again believers, we have a responsibility to be holy before God. I mentioned this last week about our bodies. Listen to me. Let's break it down. Okay, The believers should be holy. What you're saying is all Christians should be holy. Yes, that's what the Bible says. We have a call to holiness, absolutely. Listen, just as much as I'm called to preach, I'm called to holiness. And whether or not you're called to preach or not, you're called to holiness. It's just as much of a calling as the call into the ministry. We are called unto holiness. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't see what the big deal is. What's right with it? What's holy about it? What's holy about it? What's holy about it? We've argued ourselves an inch and an inch and an inch at a time, more and more towards the world, more the war towards wrong. And now, you know what? You can't hardly preach about anything without somebody getting mad. I'm talking about no-brainer stuff that every born-again Christian 20, 30, 40 years ago knew in their heart, of course that's wrong. And now I've got people that profess to be saved that will sit there and argue with you over things that should have no part, place in their life whatsoever. Now listen to me very carefully. We're going to break this down because God breaks it all the way down. Would it be nice if God just said, be ye holy, and it's left it at that, and we could all interpret that in our own mind the way... No, it wouldn't be good. Because you know what? Our carnal flesh would try to find some explanation other than what it really means. So God speaks to us. Let me first of all cover this. Our bodies are holy. Our bodies are holy. I hit this a little bit on Sunday morning, but let's hit some of it again. Romans 12, 1. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you will. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read a couple of verses of 1 Corinthians, but let me just read Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Brethren, that's all of us. That's even sistering when they say brethren. It is. Study it out. It's everybody that's saved. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the next word? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what? God wants, after you're saved, he wants you to present your body. Think about that. Your body, my body, a living sacrifice. And how are we to present it? We're to present it holy and acceptable before God. What's God want? God wants your body. He wants your body. You know why? Because that is the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3. Are you there? Verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God do what? For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I don't know how you could write it any plainer than that. Now God's very specific. He said, I want you to be holy. Okay, God. No, let me explain what that means. Number one, he says, I need your body to be holy. That body ought to be set apart, set aside. You would need to have a complete change of mind concerning your body, this body of flesh. It is no longer just a body of flesh. It is a temple. It is a temple, a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, of God. If the Holy Spirit's going to go come in and dwell in something, then whatever it indwells should be holy. Okay, so I want your temple holy. If you won't make it holy, I'll destroy it. I'm not, notice that? I'm not negotiating on this. Okay, I'll send my Spirit into you. But I'm going to tell you this. I expect where he dwells to be holy, church. And he's not dwelling in this building. It's not talking about this. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, listen, if you don't get this, you're not going to get holiness. You're not going to get it. Because it has to start with your body. Now, you think of what you're hearing about in not the world, but the Church of Jesus Christ. Are you getting this? It's not just a shame. It's a tragedy. Now, stop. With me, and let's go over to chapter 6. Go same book, chapter 6, verse number 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Romans 6, 12. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Talking about these guys that want to use liberty as an excuse to be unholy. Says, you know what? You can argue your point, but you know what? There's a principle you better remember. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body, watch this, church, the body of a Christian, is not for fornication, but for who? Now you get that? You get that, young man? You get that, young lady? Are you getting this? Okay. Give me you young men, they need to get into my book on masculinity and take a couple chapters pretty serious. Because that body God gave you is not for fornication. It is not for fornication. It is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The Lord hath both raised up God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? The Christian young man crosses the lines of morality and were to lose his virginity before he gets married, has taken the temple of God and joined it to a harlot. And this is an epidemic in our youth groups and Christian schools across America. And parents and grandparents and church members and people are shrugging and mad at the preacher if he does anything about it. We've lost our morals. We've lost our mind. There are some things that are sacred. Young ladies, I don't care. You'll hear everybody say, oh, everybody does it. Blah, blah, blah. There ought to be some young ladies tonight that says, you know what? My body belongs to God. It's his temple. It's for him. Okay? You be careful. If you blew it, adult, don't you sit there and try to excuse yourself or try to talk about it in front of some young person as if it wasn't that big a deal. It was a big deal. Whether you understand it or not, you're still paying for it. If you were honest with yourself, you're still paying for it. Your body is the temple of God. This isn't something to be messed around with. What, know you not that he which is joined in harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. That ought to be the Christian young man at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Anything that has to do with it. Pornography, I'm out of there. Wrong billboard, I'm looking the other way. Something comes up on TV, it's shutting it down. Somebody wants to tell a dirty joke, I'm out of there. Where's that? In Christian young men, where's that? You spiritual weakling. Your body is the temple of God. It ought to be sacred. What? You like that when the Bible says that? What? That's it. What? Question mark. What? Brother Paul, the Lord used him. He wrote by inspiration. I think the Holy Spirit at this point just said, write this. What? Just like that? Yeah. What? So he wrote, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you have of God? You're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And yet we have literally filthiness of the flesh, filthy habits that have invaded the church house. Not just young men, young ladies. Folks, I can't even begin to tell you the stories of what preachers are dealing with. It's absolute insanity out there. When young preachers are calling me and coming and sitting in my office and they're wide-eyed and they're mystified and they're saying, preacher, I'm dealing with this in my youth group. I don't know what to do. And by the time they get done, I'm not sure I know what to do either. And I think to myself, what has happened? I'll tell you what's happened. Some preachers stopped talking about this. Stopped preaching against this stuff. All of a sudden, everybody started making excuses about it. Okay, well, it touched so-and-so's family, so I can't preach against it anymore. Sorry, I'm sorry it touched your family, but we're still preaching against it. Okay, we still got to hold the line. Okay, we still got to say what needs to be said. Are you getting this? You're bought with a price. Therefore, you glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. They belong to him, And you know what? They're joined unto him. And the purpose of my body is to glorify God. So young lady, when you get ready in the morning, you ought to look in the mirror. And the last thought ought to be, is this appearance going to bring glory to God? And if it doesn't, change. Change into something that will. Too many young ladies looking in the mirror saying, is this appearance going to cause young men to look at my body? I think it will. Good. And they head on out the door. And I'm not exaggerating a bit. That is the average mindset, not just of the world, but of many young ladies in our youth groups, in our Christian schools. And we've got to change that. Preacher, how do you change that? You get folks to get this. Your body is not yours. Your body is not to be used as something that would cause somebody to sin or to lust. Your body is the temple of God, and it ought to be ordained. It ought to be dressed in such a way that reflects holiness unto God. Okay? So don't. Well, I know you had to wear the A-line skirts when you were in school, but you're not in school anymore, so now you're going to use the wraparound effect. You know what? When you were in school, your body was the temple of the Holy Spirit. It still is. It still is. Nothing's changed. That's not a Blessed Hope Christian school rule. That's a Bible principle. It's a Bible principle. Okay? Young man, you know what? You know why you ought to walk away when you have opportunities to look at something you shouldn't look at? Because the body is sacred. A young lady's body is sacred. That's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's sister. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Swing over there real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Furthermore, then, verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave unto you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. For every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Well, that one verse there is almost a lost truth in this generation. You are to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That's what heathen people, that's what lost people do. That no man should go and defraud his brother in any manner. That means dress in such a way that causes temptation of somebody else. You don't defraud people. Okay? You don't do that. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. He therefore that despiseth us, despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now look right up here. Everything that has to do with your body, everything that you do to your body or don't do to your body ought to be bound to this truth. Okay? I said Sunday morning, I said, you know, too many people have got it stuck in their mind that this is the house of God. This technically is not the house of God. I mentioned Sunday, if I walked into church house and if I opened a can of beer and poured it in the middle of the aisle, some of you just absolutely have a heart attack. And yet Christians will leave this place, go home, and take a beer and pour it into the temple of God. I didn't pour it into the temple of God. They poured it into the temple of God. Somebody lights a cigarette up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in the congregation. Everybody would have a heart attack. But folks, listen to me. If a Christian walks out, gets in the car, goes home, lights up a cigarette, so he is defiling the temple of God. Some of you young men, this crazy culture we're in, you know. Why don't you pierce your ear? Everybody else is doing it. First of all, it was started by the homosexuals. That's why. It was started by the homosexuals. Okay? It's not a statement of manliness or manhood. Okay? Why don't you get a tattoo? You know what? If y'all showed up at church Sunday and somebody had showed up during the week and taken a spray can and put graffiti all over the front of the church, you'd come out and you'd be fighting mad. But the honest truth is, folks, that's not the temple of God. Okay? And so everything that everybody wants to argue is okay, all of a sudden if you say, well, okay, I've listened to all your arguments, now let's present this thought. Hey, this is the temple of God. It's supposed to be holy unto God. How does that square with what you're saying? Okay? And so what I'm saying is this. Listen, I don't know. I can hit what's bad today, but they're going to come up with more bad tomorrow. The fads change, but you know what? The principle doesn't. You treat your body as a sacred thing. You treat it sacredly in this matter of morality. You treat this sacredly in this matter of cleanliness. You treat it sacredly in this matter. I think there's a reason that I think that you ought to be properly groomed and dressed a certain way and dressed right. And you shouldn't walk around looking like the wrinkle monster attacked you, okay? And you actually iron your clothes. And I mean, there's a reason. You know why? Because everything that has to do with this body ought to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and bring glory and honor to Him. Nothing ought to be done to deface, you know, or defame the body of God, the body of the temple of God. And so everything, it takes care of so many issues, okay? I dress a certain way because this is the temple of God. I want to take care of it. I mean, if we quit cleaning Blessed Oak Baptist Church, just told all the ladies, you know what? That's just unnecessary. Let's just stop doing it. In about a week or 2 weeks, no, probably about 3 days, man. Some of us, I cannot believe. Can I say this, folks? It's probably not anybody here tonight. I know it's not. Absolutely it's not. But I am absolutely mortified. That's a Ogle word, I think. I'm mortified. When I walk through here on a Monday morning and see the absolute trash. Cleaning ladies, can I get an amen? Absolute trash. You really, think about it, you really unwrap a piece of candy, take the wrapper, and throw it on the floor. Really? You really do that? Period. But in church? There's some things I don't understand. I do not understand somebody having a piece of trash in their car, rolling the window down, and throwing it out. I cannot compute with that. That is your responsibility. Why would you throw it out in somebody's yard or in the ditch? What? It may not seem like a big deal, but the problem is it is a big deal. Because you treat your whole life, you treat everybody in life like that. You create trash for everybody else to pick up. If it's my trash, I'm the one supposed to take care of it. Okay, so when you walk in the bathroom back there, the bathroom's better after you leave it. The sink's cleaner and wiped off and everything's nicer than when you walked in. I mean, I can't believe the bathrooms. You say, oh, the bus kids. No, stop letting bus kids get the blame for everything around here. Just because they drove in on a bus don't mean they're dirty, filthy little animals, okay? We have plenty of our own dirty, filthy little animals without busting any of them in. But what I'm saying is this. You know, everybody's saying, right, that's right, that's right. Man alive, we ought to take care of this place. No, you ought to take care of your body. This is the temple of God. It's important. There's a reason that, you know what, you shouldn't just... I don't get the hairstyles. I'm having trouble. The hairstyle now is that you work for about 15 minutes to get it to look like you didn't work on it. And they put work in it. They put a bunch of goop in it, and then they move everything to make it look like that you just got up. Say, well, it may not seem like, you know what? This is a Bible principle. There's a reason I comb my hair. There's a reason that I keep my hair neatly trimmed. I don't care if a guy has a beard and a mustache. The Bible's not against that, but it oughtn't to be sloppy. Okay, clothes ought to be sharp. Why? You know why? Because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Ought to be clean. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You ought to be properly dressed every single time you leave the house. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Why don't we drink? Because I'm not putting that in the temple. Why don't I smoke? Because I'm not putting that in the temple. Now listen, if you're sitting out there and you're lost as a goose and you're not saved, this isn't probably making any sense to you. If you actually have the Holy Spirit in you, you might listen to him because he's trying to tell you something right now. You don't suck smoke into the temple of God. You don't damage the lungs of the temple of God. I'm going to step over the line. Here we go. You don't commit the sin of gluttony because this is the temple of God. All right? Okay? You're walking around away from the table, and every time you walk from the table, you're in pain. You're abusing the temple of God. All right? What I'm saying is this. It begins to affect every area of your life. But the first thing that God asked when he, and we're going to break it on down. He's going to break it down very specifically. The body's the first step. But you know what the first step is? Present your body holy and acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. And so this body is sacred. Young man, your body's sacred. Young lady, your body as a Christian is very sacred. It belongs to God. Treat it sacredly. It ought to be holy. It ought to be acceptable before God. That's your reasonable service. Not asking some big thing. God says that's basic stuff. And so first of all, our bodies. We're going to go on from there. Lord willing, next Wednesday night. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God. Help us to understand, Lord, the importance of the concept of the temple of God and its holiness. I pray, Lord, that you would please help us, dear God, to be very conscious of this every day. Every day. But especially in this month, Lord, may we just eliminate things in our life that are causing us to treat the temple of God in an unholy fashion. I pray, Lord, that this would be a reset button in the lives of Christians. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to begin to live very sacredly. Help us, dear God, please, we pray. In Jesus' name.